Amen. A few months ago, the United Kingdom made news when it appointed its first Minister of Loneliness. This is a cabinet-level position, equivalent to being a secretary in the US President's cabinet. Prime Minister Theresa May made this decision in response to a research study that found that more than 200,000 older adults in Britain had not had a single conversation with any friend or relative in more than a month. Similar statistics have been reported from here in the United States, and some social scientists have declared that we are suffering from an epidemic of loneliness. The use of the word epidemic is intentional because loneliness is a health issue. Chronic loneliness often leads to depression and other mental health disorders. It causes sleep disturbances, and it also impairs physical health. People who are chronically lonely tend to have higher blood pressures and worse cardiovascular health. They're more vulnerable to infectious diseases, and they have a higher rate of death. Loneliness has been found to be as bad for health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And loneliness is contagious. Lonely people tend to share their loneliness with other people. Loneliness is defined as perceived social isolation. Loneliness is not about being alone. It's possible to feel very lonely even when surrounded by a whole crowd of people. Loneliness is about feeling disconnected and having a sense of not belonging. Some loneliness is interpersonal loneliness, which occurs when someone feels disconnected from family and close friends. Social loneliness happens when people feel excluded from a group or a community, or they withdraw from their social networks. And that's common for people who are fighting chronic diseases or people who are survivors of physical or psychological trauma. Refugees may experience cultural loneliness when they perceive that they don't fit in with mainstream culture in their new home. There's even a type of loneliness called existential loneliness that's present when people of any age become aware of their own mortality and withdraw and self-isolate. This is epitomized by the first chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes that says, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Everything is meaningless. Generations come and generations go. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them." So loneliness is a very common human condition, and it exists in every country and across cultures. It's also found in many places throughout the Bible, starting from the very first pages, when Adam was alone in the Garden of Eden, and he was lonely, and the Creator made Eve to give him companionship. Many of the Psalms express the deep loneliness that King David experienced, and leaders often tend to feel alone and isolated. The prophet Jeremiah spoke eloquently about his feelings of separation from his neighbors, although in his case, he was kind of saying, "These people are bugging me, I wish I was alone," but there's also loneliness in there that is just feeling that he doesn't fit in. Just about the entire book of Job is about the loneliness of suffering. And when we turn to the New Testament, we see that when the Apostle Paul writes letters from prison, he talks about how lonely and abandoned he feels. And even Jesus has times when he feels alone and disconnected from the people around him. You've probably heard about extroverts and introverts, and you've probably done that little test with the four letters on the Myers-Briggs where you figure out what you are. If you are an extrovert, you probably thrive on interaction with other people and are energized by social activities. And if you're an introvert, you probably recharge by spending time alone or maybe just one-on-one, and large groups are draining for you instead of energizing. Both extroverts and introverts experience loneliness, but they tend to experience it in different ways. For some extroverts, even just a brief period of time alone can cause deep feelings of loneliness, that solitude is uncomfortable. By contrast, many introverts are quite content to be alone for long periods of time, and alone time isn't usually lonely time, but introverts still want to know that there are people they can engage with in meaningful ways when they want to be social. So everyone can experience loneliness. Loneliness tends to peak at about age 30. And if you're all saying, either that's me or I'm past that, yay, that's not quite how it works. It peaks at 30, and then it diminishes until about age 65. And then it rises again, and it spikes after the age of 80. But individuals don't always follow those trends. For every individual, that could be experienced differently, and at every age group, loneliness is common. For example, 1 in 3 teenagers, we've got some sitting right here, if we had 3, I'd know one of you was lonely. 1 in 3 teenagers and 20-somethings report that they feel lonely most or all of the time. The percentage of teens who are lonely has increased rapidly over the past decade as social media interactions have replaced face-to-face conversations. The teens who spend the most time on social media every day are the ones who are the most likely to say that they have no close friends and feel lonely. Some of the world's loneliest people are new parents. More than half of new moms and dads report feeling lonely and isolated, and that isolation may exacerbate the anxiety and exhaustion that's associated with the heavy responsibilities of caring for a newborn. And if we move toward the other end of the age spectrum, older adults often experience loneliness as they transition first from the workplace to retirement, and then later on, health problems can cause a profound sense of isolation, especially when chronic illnesses and disability leave little energy for engaging with other people and with the world. Widows and widowers often experience severe loneliness as they grieve the loss of their life partners. In the 1970s and 1980s, about 10 to 20% of older Americans reported that they often felt lonely. But over the past 10 years, surveys with national samples consistently find that about 40 to 45% of retirement age adults are severely lonely. Similar statistics are available for every age group from childhood through senior adulthood. That adds up to a lot of lonely people. Most surveys say that about half of Americans are severely or moderately lonely. So they're lonely most or all of the time. There are also occupational risks for loneliness. Many veterans, especially those who have served in conflict areas, suffer from loneliness after they leave the military. Veterans who have difficulty re-establishing social relationships in the civilian world have a higher rate of developing post-traumatic stress disorder. And the Gold Star families that we seek to honor and support as a nation on Memorial Day also often experience very high rates of loneliness. Most loneliness is short-term, but some loneliness lasts for a long time. And nearly everyone has or will experience times of loneliness as they move through their years. The people who are lonely today are probably not going to be lonely in a few months, but those who feel very socially connected today might be profoundly lonely next year. So what do we do as followers of Jesus and members of the church to combat this epidemic of loneliness? Well, first, we can recognize the loneliness that's present within our families, our neighborhoods, our church, our workplaces, our schools, and the other communities that we interact with. Almost everyone goes through periods of feeling lonely. These are the times that the Psalms describe as being times in the valley. But as members of the body of Christ, we experience together happiness and sorrow. joy and sadness, peace and anxiety. And we also experience together belonging and separation. The church is uniquely equipped to offer true community, reconciliation, and shalom. But we are not going to eradicate loneliness simply by filling our calendars with activities. So that is part of the solution. Taco Tuesdays are part of the solution. But it's not a complete fix, because loneliness is not just about being alone. And it's not just about feeling isolated from other people. Loneliness is also about feeling disconnected from oneself and separated from God. And time spent with other people doesn't solve that underlying sense of detachment. So one of the ways that we can combat that root of loneliness is to meditate on God's promise that we are never alone. There's a reassurance that appears in many places throughout the Bible. So we see, for example, in the Old Testament, there are repeated promises that say things like, "The Lord your God goes with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you." That appears in several places. The Psalms and other poems in the Bible, including some of those that we're reading this morning, testify to the continuous presence of the Almighty. In the New Testament, Jesus says at the end of Matthew, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit to be a constant presence and guide. The theme for the next several Sundays will be the body of Christ. And we can't be the body of Christ as a church when so many of us individually might be feeling isolated and disconnected from fellow Christians, or when we're not feeling firm in the faith and grounded in God's word. It's important that we individually and collectively take time to draw near to God, time to cry out for help if that's where we are in our spiritual journeys, time to offer praise for God's goodness, and time to seek God's comfort and presence. So we're going to take a few more minutes here during this worship service to meditate on some of the Psalms that reflect on this theme of loneliness. Times of silent reflections are often uncomfortable because they're times when we become aware of our loneliness and our fear of being alone. But we are not alone because God is with us.